This podcast is brought to you by Blue Thistle.
My daughter's gone forever. I'm her mother. Now I have to speak for her. I'm her voice now.
From the creator of The Vanishing Point comes a new weekly true crime podcast, Floodlights.
We are carrying a lot of the burden of the pain and stress of losing such a beautiful person.
In the United States, there is a crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous people. In Floodlights, we'll be covering a new case every week.
And I will fight the rest of my life.
You'll also hear about other major crimes affecting tribal nations, from conspiracies to scandals created by an unfair legal system.
In Hoopa, we have the highest rate of missing and murdered Indigenous women.
Floodlights investigates true crime stories impacting tribal nations, featuring interviews with survivors, advocates, and law enforcement. Floodlights, available wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This summer, saddle up with the only sportsbook where you can bet on horse racing, FanDuel. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $500. That's right, you'll get up to $500 back in racing credit if your first horse racing bet doesn't win. With FanDuel Sportsbook, you can even watch and bet select races live right in the app. So, bet horse racing on the same app where you bet all your other favorite sports. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Just download the app or go to FanDuel.com/horses to score your no-sweat bet up to $500. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Offer valid on first real money wager of $5 or more. Verified FD racing account required. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable racing site credit that expires 7 days after issuance. Max refund $500. Restrictions apply. See terms at racing.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, friend. Welcome back to Foul Play. The Zodiac murders in the late 1960s had instilled fear across Northern California. An unknown individual preyed on couples in secluded spots, brutally attacking them with an unmistakable intent to kill. 5 people had their lives taken by this man. 2 were seriously injured, but managed to survive the ambush. Year after year went by, with no further leads. This killer had stepped back into the shadows. Law enforcement had not given up on catching this man. As time moved forward into the mid-80s, they were inundated with phone calls, letters, and messages claiming to know the identity of the Zodiac killer. Distinguishing credible leads from the deluge of speculation was a monumental task. The Zodiac killer had now been silent for 12 years. There were no more confirmed letters from this brutal killer, and no more murders claimed by him. The dark cloud of his awful crimes hung heavy over all those affected. The 5 lives this man callously stole were still waiting for justice. In the fall of 1986, the Napa County Police Department was sent a letter by an individual who insisted on keeping their identity secret. They claimed to have the answers to the riddles of the Zodiac killings. And now, they wanted them heard. Detective Ken Narlow in the Napa County Sheriff's Department have been involved in hunting the Zodiac killer since he was called to the crime scene at Lake Berryessa in 1969. He was still receiving information relating to the case, and he was just as eager to find this killer and uncover his real identity. On August 20th, 1986, Narlo received a letter. Also copied in was Detective Napoleon Hendricks at the San Francisco Police Department. After being in law enforcement for 2 decades, Hendricks was known for cracking complex cases. The letter was from a man who called himself Blaine Blaine, and he said he had vital information to share about the Zodiac case. Blaine claimed he knew who the Zodiac really was. The letter accused Richard Gajkowski, a man Blaine had worked with 7 years previously. Gajkowski was a journalist and newspaper editor who in the late 60s and early 70s worked at a collective based in San Francisco called the Good Times. He had moved to San Francisco from South Dakota in 1963 after serving in the Army and training as a medic. Gajkowski was described as a quiet, intelligent man whose job focused on writing, publishing, and editing for newspapers. By 1964, Gajkowski was living in Martinez, a small city within the San Francisco Bay Area. He was the managing editor for the News Gazette, which was a smaller sister paper of the Vallejo Times Herald, based less than 20 minutes' drive away. 5 years later, in 1969, Gajkowski had joined the Good Times Collective. It was here that Blaine first met him. The group members lived together in one house in San Francisco and produced a weekly newspaper they called the San Francisco Good Times. The paper was a typical underground counterculture publication that was reflective of the era. It promoted personal freedom and social justice, and the newspaper provided a voice for new ideas. This included alternative lifestyles, and it served as an anti-establishment platform for viewpoints and local news. Before writing his letter to Narlo, Blaine had read with great interest Robert Gray Smith's book, Zodiac, which had been published earlier that year. Blaine found it inspiring, and it pushed him to begin his own investigation into the unsolved killings. He had very quickly concluded that Richard Gajkowski, his old boss and friend, had a hidden life no one knew about and was in fact the Zodiac Killer. In Blaine's letter, the accusations continued to flow. He accused Gajkowski of carrying out another murder, that of cab driver Leonard Carl Smith. Leonard worked for the cab firm Allied Taxi Service in San Francisco and was fatally shot on July 31, 1986. His life was taken in circumstances reminiscent of the Paul Stein case. Leonard was shot from behind by a passenger in his cab during a fare. He succumbed to his injuries on the way to the San Francisco General Hospital. The murder left cab drivers across the city on edge and uneasy. Blaine's letter urged the authorities to arrest Richard Gajkowski for Leonard's murder and Cecilia Shepherd's murder, who was killed by the Zodiac at Lake Berryessa in 1969. For law enforcement, such a letter sparks intrigue and curiosity, but also hesitancy. All officers who worked on this case wanted it solved, but the presumption of innocent until proven guilty must be upheld. It is believed Detective Narlo spoke with Gajkowski about the accusations Blaine made against him. He was asked to verify his movements at the time of the Zodiac killings. Gajkowski said he was out of the country at the time the first killings took place at Lake Herman Road. There was no evidence Gajkowski had any involvement in the Zodiac murders. Blaine had been unable to provide any information to substantiate the claims he made against him. Richard Gajkowski was not considered to be a viable suspect. A month later, a second letter arrived for Ken Narlow. This time it contained a report Blaine had compiled called On Zodiac's Identity. It was 80 pages long and detailed much of the information contained within Robert Graysmith's book. His report had been a labor of time and dedication. It chronicled his visits to the Zodiac crime scenes and his analysis of the murders. As the detectives read on, each page provided more detail on why Blaine was convinced that Gajkowski was the killer they had been looking for. Blaine alleged that Richard Gajkowski was planning additional murders and wanted Blaine to participate in these violent and disturbing acts. Dubbed the Golden Calf Killings, a reference to Blaine's own book on the subject, these murders seemed to be the center of his accusations. Blaine once again stated that Gajkowski had taken the life of cab driver Leonard Smith. According to Blaine, Leonard's murder was intended to frighten him into silence about his knowledge of Gajkowski and the Zodiac murders. Blaine claimed he had recorded conversations he had with Gajkowski without his knowledge and suggested Gajkowski had readily confessed to being the Zodiac killer. In the 1980s, law enforcement was under immense pressure to solve the Zodiac case. As they had been since the murders took place, they wanted justice for the victims of these horrific crimes and to ensure the public was safe from a person who appeared to enjoy murder. His disappearance and silence since 1974 was not reassuring. As the years passed, the urgency to find this man only increased. This communication from Blaine was a long and dizzying report, with countless claims and accusations, all pointing the finger at Richard Gajkowski as the Zodiac killer. There were claims that did not always make sense or read as logical. There was no evidence to back any of the claims made, and it made their credibility questionable. In April of the following year, Blaine once again tried to get authorities to take his accusations against Richard Gajkowski seriously. He wrote to Ken Narlow and sent a copy to Fred Chirasago, who was assigned to the Zodiac case from the California Department of Justice. Blaine was concerned authorities were trying to discredit him by not listening to his information. He didn't think they believed him and thought they were missing vital information as a result. The law enforcement agencies and detectives who looked at Blaine's claims were skeptical of how trustworthy and reliable his information was. The fundamental problem was the lack of evidence to support his accusations regarding Gajkowski. Without any evidence, they had very little they could investigate. Blaine, however, was persistent in his claims and adamant authorities needed to look closely at this individual. In 1991, an FBI report highlighted that agents had looked at the accusations made against Gajkowski to verify if there was any credibility to them. They were unable to find any evidence to support him as a viable suspect in the Zodiac case. By now, law enforcement and the FBI have concluded that the individual who went by the name of Blaine Blaine was not a reliable or credible informant, and his information could not be trusted.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This podcast is brought to you by Blue Thistle.
My daughter's gone forever. I'm her mother. Now I have to speak for her. I'm her voice now.
From the creator of The Vanishing Point comes a new weekly true crime podcast, Floodlights.
We are carrying a lot of the burden of the pain and stress of losing such a beautiful person.
In the United States, there is a crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous people. In Floodlights, we'll be covering a new case every week.
And I will fight the rest of my life.
You'll also hear about other major crimes affecting tribal nations, from conspiracies to scandals created by an unfair legal system.
In Hoopa, we have the highest rate of missing and murdered Indigenous women.
Floodlights investigates true crime stories impacting tribal nations, featuring interviews with survivors, advocates, and law enforcement. Floodlights, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Richard Gawkowski always maintained that he was not the Zodiac Killer. He said he was traveling abroad when these murders took place. Initially, he was unable to locate his passport to prove the dates he was out of the country. In 1968, Gawkowski was working in Albany, New York, at a newspaper called the Knickerbocker News. He left late that year, telling colleagues he was going to Europe. He had applied for a passport in October, stating his intention to go overseas from November, giving the timeline for his intended travel as 1 month. Newspaper articles published by him at the beginning of 1969 refer to him being present at a large-scale Belfast march on July 1st and reporting on the march and the wider implications as a first-hand account. It is not known exactly when Gawkowski did return to the U.S., but at some point in 1969, he became part of the Good Times Collective in San Francisco. There are circumstantial points to note about Gawkowski's movements. He lived in Albany for a short period, moving there not long after Darlene Farren moved to the city with her new husband. There have been some claims made, including some by Blaine, that Gawkowski knew Darlene in person. However, it seems these have never been confirmed or corroborated. The city of Albany has come up in the Zodiac case before. In April 1968, the Albany Times Union newspaper received a letter from the Zodiac. It suggested a possible attack on a nurse and a connection to the Albany Medical Center, hidden in a two-line cipher attached to the letter. The address of the Good Times Collective House, where Blaine and Gawkowski met and worked, was within 2 miles of the crime scene where Paul Stein was murdered in 1969. In 1971, before the Good Times paper closed down, Richard Gawkowski was admitted to the Napa State Hospital against his will, due to concerns for his mental health. In the months that followed, he was diagnosed with a mental illness and received treatment at the Mount Zion Hospital in San Francisco. In the years to come, Gajkowski would follow his interest in film, and by 1974, he was working at a theater in San Francisco. Richard Gajkowski has never been officially named as a suspect in the case, and no evidence has been found to link him to any of the Zodiac murders. He died in April 2004 of lung cancer at 68 years old. The same month, the San Francisco Police Department announced the Zodiac case was being made inactive. Lieutenant John Hennessy, who was the head of the homicide unit, said the department needed to use their resources in the most effective way they could. 3 years later, in 2007, it would be reopened in attempts to forensically re-examine as much physical evidence as possible. With the impending release of Zodiac, the movie, made primarily from Robert Graysmith's book, the case was back in the public spotlight. Zodiac the movie was not the only film production to be gearing up in that year around the Zodiac Killer. Mystery Quest was a documentary series that first aired in September 2009 by the History Channel. Episode 3 of this series focused on the Zodiac killings and the advances in new technology that might be able to identify the mystery killer. The episode was the first to name Richard Gajkowski as a Zodiac suspect. Blaine was featured on the program. He appeared in disguise and under the new pseudonym of Gold Snatcher as an informant relating to Gajkowski and the Zodiac murders. The San Francisco Police Department was asked by the producers of Mystery Quest to participate in the program and make the DNA profile believed to be the Zodiac killer available for comparison. They declined to take part in filming. Mystery Quest appeared to have taken samples of Gajkowski's DNA and sent these to the San Francisco Police Department and Napa County Sheriff's Office. This was in hope they would be compared to samples on file believed to belong to the Zodiac. It is not known if this comparison ever took place. There are only a few people who have ever heard the voice of the Zodiac Killer. Nancy Slover is one of those people, and she has forever been haunted by the voice she heard that night in 1969. Slover was the police dispatcher who took the call from the killer after Darlene Farron and Michael Maggio had been killed at Blue Rock Springs. During the Mystery Quest documentary, a Zodiac researcher played Nancy a recording of Gajkowski's voice to see if she was able to recognize it.
I had discussed it with my neurologist about would it be possible for me to remember after all these years that specific voice. And he said, in his opinion, yes. When anything traumatic or life-changing happens at any time in your life, your subconscious holds on to it, and you never know what's going to trigger it.
What's the code? A telecode is broken. You have never any way of knowing whether it's a real code or whether it's just a fake code. Don't worry.
The last part of that was even more like what I heard in the first part. If you just play that last part for me again, Tom.
Don't worry. Pretty good.
Enough. That came very close to his goodbye to me.
So the second half of that is more like, maybe there's more emotion in his voice.
It's the same guy, yeah.
You seem pretty certain.
Well, I am. Nobody that I have listened to before even came close to him. In my opinion, that is the man that called Vallejo Police Department in the early morning hours of July 5th, 1969.
Auditory memory is a complex cognitive function and relies on the unique characteristics of a person's voice to be able to recall having heard that voice before. Just as eyewitness memory is fraught with dangers, from distortion to bias, auditory memory is an equally multifaceted field to navigate. The content of the call to Nancy Slover and the importance of that voice may have deeply embedded itself into her memory, making such an identification possible. There are some things that once heard can be very difficult to forget. When a belief takes hold and manifests itself, carving out a space that remains tightly in place, regardless of any controversy or barriers it may encounter, it can be very difficult to change. The accusations made by Blaine appear to be believed wholeheartedly by him, despite no evidence to support this theory of events, and the person he thought was a cold-blooded killer. Gajkowski remains a viable suspect for some in the hunt for the Zodiac Killer. In a case that is now over 5 decades old, information is now populous over the internet, where websites, views, and discussions can take place at the click of a button. The hunt for the Zodiac and the possible identification of him is still a much debated and highly engaging topic, sparking lively debates across the internet. As the years have passed, there have been more suspects brought into question. More people who some feel are this elusive and dangerous serial killer. The question is, which one is correct?
Bocas del Toro, Panama.
A secluded seaside hideaway. Scott Maqueda has no idea that his tropical haven is about to become his personal hell. A serial killer pretending to be a therapist.
Hulbert rents a room, and that's where he set up his business as a fake shrink.
Accusations of a gringo mafia.
Gun running, drugs.
A slaughtered family.
And then he goes back and he plants another bullet.
A killer on tape.
Hey man, I'm guilty. Everybody knows I'm a monster.
The law of the jungle is simple. Survive. I'm your host, Candace DeLong, from Treefort Media and Village Roadshow Entertainment Group. This is Natural Selection, Scott versus Wild Bill. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop weekly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.